Luke chapter 15, starting in verse number 1. I will read two or three verses to start with, and then we'll skip down to verse 11. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The reason I've read verse 1, 2, and 3 is because, or verse 1 and 2, and fixing to read verse 3, is that this is the basis for Jesus giving this tripart parable of lost sheep, lost silver, and lost son. And verse 3, and he spake this parable unto them, saying. So what is stated in verse 1 and 2 sets the platform, the foundation, and that is Jesus is really dealing with the older brother. He's dealing with the Pharisee. But let's look in verse 11. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have filled, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth, I just noticed something there. The reason I paused there for a second, maybe the Lord help me remember it. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, who hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let's pray. Father, I come in Jesus' name, Lord, ask you to help me. Lord, as we look to you for unction, for liberty, and that you'll open our hearts and minds as we endeavor to be obedient to you and preach what you've directed our heart toward and burden our heart about even during the service this morning. And Lord, we ask you to just develop it in our hearts as we go along and speak to us, Lord, we pray. Deal with hearts, get the glory, defeat the devil. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There has been an enormous amount of preaching out of these verses. In fact, I preached not long ago, maybe a year or so ago, a series about, I don't remember now even what I titled it, but it was on the prodigal. But I'm looking at something else. You know, there's the prodigal, and then there's the Pharisee, which is the older brother. But I thought about a third category of and class of people that's in this passage. I've overlooked them all the times that I've dealt with the prodigal. All the times, Brother Robert, that I've dealt with the Pharisee. I've overlooked this crowd. I've overlooked these others that were referenced no less than four times. I thought there was just two, but two more stuck out as I was reading. And you have a choice. You can be a prodigal if you want to be. There's nobody going to force your hand to stay where you need to be or be what you need to be. I mean, you have liberty. I have liberty. All of us have liberty this evening to absolutely destroy our life before the sun finished going down this evening if we so choose that. And I do want to say being a prodigal is a choice. There's nothing set in stone. There's nothing set, you know, that says, well, I've got to be because of this. No, it's a choice. So we could preach about us being a prodigal. And then we could preach about us being a Pharisee and use the older brother. He didn't go to the far country, but he was full of pride. He was full of criticism. He thought he was special because he hasn't done what other people has done. And so he was looking down his polished snout at his brother that was typical of a sinner. So you can be a prodigal. You can be a Pharisee. But I don't want to be neither. I'm glad that's not the, amen, thank you, Lord. I'm glad that's not the only option in this passage. It's not just either or, prodigal or Pharisee. God's against both and both is against God. There is another class that you can fit in. Amen. And I want to reference those. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants? How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger? Verse 19, and am no more worthy to be called thy son, make me as one of thy hired servants. And then again, verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And then there's one more time, if I can remember where it's at. Let's see where it's at. Let's see. Verse 26. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. So no less, unless I overlooked one, no less than four times we have servants referred to. So there's a third option. It's not just being a prodigal. Those that run away and leave the principles that would bless and benefit their life. And there's not just the other option of being a Pharisee and prideful that I've not went to the pig pen, that I've not done what other people have done. But I'm glad there's a third class, and that is the servants. And I don't know why in the world, Brother Aaron, that has never stuck out to me. Every time that I saw the servants, I was so preoccupied with the prodigal that I overlooked the servants. I'm glad that, thank God, there's a third class and I want to get in it. I want to be known as a servant, thank God, to the Most High God. I want to be a servant. And I jotted some things down. Hallelujah, amen. I bless the Lord. I'm glad that servants in the New Testament is one word that describes saved people. Paul referenced himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe that that is one of the great counters of being a prodigal, is being a servant. You can't go to the far country as long as you're busy serving the Father and being busy with the harvest on the farm, praise God. Amen. And if you're a servant, you don't have time to be inspecting everybody else and what they're doing. Amen. So you won't be a Pharisee. A servant is the answer. Well, anyway, I just jotted a few things down while Miss Andre was testifying, and that triggered it, and I don't know who else was testifying after that. I heard the testimony, but I just don't remember who they were. So here we go. First thing that I noticed, and these are in no particular order, and I guess this first one I've already dealt with, and that is that being a servant makes you an exception. That is that you are not a prodigal and you are not a Pharisee, but you are an exception. You are a servant. Amen. So I won't have to deal with that one because I've already dealt with it. Amen. Be an exception. I want to write down the word exception. I want to be an exception. When people think about prodigals, I don't want them to think about me. When people think about a Pharisee, I don't want my name, my image, nothing about me to come up in their mind. But when they think about somebody saved and somebody, amen, living for God and being faithful, amen, I don't mind at all that they think, praise God, Preacher Ackley is a servant of the Most High God. Amen. When Jesus comes, Brother Taylor, we'll be ashamed if we ever was a prodigal. When Jesus comes, Brother Jeff, we'll be ashamed that we was a Pharisee. And I want to tell you, I don't want to be a prodigal. I don't want not one fiber of my being to cross over the far country city limits. Amen, that's right. I don't even want to go in that direction. I want to know where it's at so that I can stay away from it. Amen. If you get on the far country road, don't be shocked when you're in the city limits and wind up in the hog pen. And can I say the hog pen is still in the far country and it still stinks? Amen. It ain't changed at all. So there's an exception. The servants is an exception. Number two, the second thing that stood out to me was that the servants mentioned here was not only an exception, but they was also an example. You think about it. They stayed put on the farm when the prodigals were leaving. I think that's a great example. Amen. Do you think these servants knew that prodigal? Do you think these servants was close to that prodigal? They grew up probably around him. They knew him first name basis. But when the prodigal made a choice to kick out and to abandon ship and leave and wreck his life, the servants didn't go with him. Amen. God help us that our servitude have a stronghold on us more than friendships do, more than associations do. Amen. If everybody quits, we ought to be a servant, and that we're going to stay put in the field and on the farm and stay focused on the Father. Well, I'm having a good time. I might ought to preach off the bulletin again some other time. Amen. If I can read my writing. But they didn't leave when the prodigals left. And Brother Fultz, not only that, they didn't let the cantankerous, criticizing, better than you, holier than thou attitude of the publican, I mean of the Pharisee, the older brother influence. I'm going to tell you right now, that's about as corrupting as anything. Have you ever been around one? We've all been one at times, but have you ever been around somebody like that? Everything comes out of their mouth is critical. Everything they come out is critiquing. Amen. They'd probably find fault with Jesus, I guess, if he's around him long enough. But the point I'm making on this example part was that the servant, he wasn't swayed by the prodigal who left. And you know that he missed him. These servants missed the prodigal. Wouldn't you think, Brother Taylor, they missed him? I don't know. He probably was a good man. He probably was a good son. He probably had a good personality. He probably was enjoyable to be around until he left. But I'm glad the servants, what I'm telling you, God's speaking to me. I want my attachment to the Father and my service to be stronger than my associations. And I'm going to tell you, friend, you know as well as I do, you never know from one week to the next who's going to kick out. I've been disappointed so many times. I've been let down. I've been, amen, all of that so many times. I've got down to where I don't even know who's really in and who's not. Amen. But I want to be so attached and so loyal to the Father and the farm and the fruit, amen, and the future, that no matter who kicks out, I'll hate it. I'll miss them. I hate they're going to the far country. I know what's going to become of them. I know that there's going to be scars and there's going to be a stripping of everything in their life that's worth anything. But I want it to be said in my heart, I am not going with them. I'll pray for them. Amen. We'll welcome them when they come home. We'll help kill the fatted calf, amen. We'll even go get the robe. Servants was the ones that went and got the calf and the robe. I'll be a participant in those that come home. But I am not, by the grace of God, going with them. Oh, my goodness. So they were not only exceptions. They were an example. And thirdly, these are all running together now, so it looks like. Number three, they were enduring. They were steadfast. Even when prodigals and the prideful was doing their thing and both was displeasing to the Father. Are you listening? Both of them, both attitudes, amen, displeased the Father, but the servants endured. That is, they stayed with it. And they endured. They stayed in the field. They kept serving. Amen. Because they knew that what we're going to eat in the future rides on the present. If we come out of the fields, who's going to plow? Who's going to plant? If we come out of the fields, who's going to bring in the harvest? Amen. Oh, they were enduring. I want to be that way. I want to be persevering. I don't want to be a prodigal. I don't want to be a Pharisee. I do want to be a persevering servant, don't you? Oh, yes. And I thought about this. Look at this. Yes, this will be number four or whatever. Number four, they were employed. Oh, my goodness. I'm just seeing into this. Twice, verse 17 and verse 19, they're called hired servants. In other words, it wasn't just toil and labor. There was paydays. Oh, somebody better help me. Amen. I might hurt myself right here. It's not just giving out and going and plowing and sweating and serving and putting up with everything. Oh, no. There's time, son, that the Father will call you aside and hand you a check and say, it's worth it to serve the Father. It's worth it to be faithful. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Brother R.G. Lee preached years ago. Dr. R.G. Lee preached that famous message, payday, someday. Whoa, oh, I want to tell you, we may not get paid in this life, or else we may not see it, but I want to tell you, God, amen, will not forget your labor of love. He'll not let you go and serve and be faithful and then forget you. No, no. He is going to remember. Thank God, I'm glad I'm employed. Woo, I'm glad I'm employed, amen, on the farm and in the business of the Father. Oh, I just saw something. Y'all don't care if I see something. When the prodigal come to the Father, he wanted all that come to him, was coming to him. Well, he divided unto them his living. He divided unto the prodigal the portion that went to him, and he divided unto, oh my goodness. Yeah. He divided unto the Pharisee the portion that went with him, and the servants would have said, well, there's nothing left. Oh, but no, friend. Hallelujah, but no, amen. I want to tell you, they were hired servants. They were employed, and the Father's going to be faithful on his end of those that are faithful. Hallelujah, amen. Sometimes you think maybe God's done give it all away. You may think sometimes that there's nothing left, but I want to tell you, God, hallelujah, his resources are inexhaustible. Can I quote you a verse that comes to mind? Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his what? Riches in glory. God's been handing out and dishing out and, amen, taking care of his servants all these many long years. But I'm telling you, he's not bankrupt. He's still got a sufficiency. He's still got a supply. He's still got a heart to take care of his servant. Son. Man, that's helping me right there. It pays to serve God. Think about that statement. It pays to serve God. Oh my goodness. Sometimes, oh, you get to thinking, what am I getting out of this? Besides ulcers. Amen, and heartaches and sleepless nights. And hey, every once in a while, like this morning, could I get back in my spot? When you think you can't go another mile and you think you just are not going to make it, and it looks like the holding back straps are done broke, and it looks like you're going under, and it looks like you're not going to make it, right out of the blue, God says, in essence, it's payday. Now, had I been a prodigal, I'd have missed out on that. Had I been a Pharisee, I'd have missed out on that. Amen. Had I quit, I'd have missed out on that. I'm telling you, I don't know what happened on other pews, but I know in this corner right here, it was thick. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you something. What is the pay for the prodigal? Oh yeah, preacher, he left the father's house. His pockets were full. Oh yeah, I know that. I know that. But evidently that wasn't pay. Because he went to the far country and ended up paying everything else. He wasted all of it with riotous living. You think that sin won't cost you? You look in the Bible. Don't believe the lie of the devil that you're going to get by. No, no. None of us, nobody gets by. Saved or lost, nobody gets by. Be careful of what you live up because you may never live it down. There's a high cost to low living. There's a high cost, friend. Listen. Oh, yes. There's a high cost to being a prodigal. He come back with nothing. Left with everything and come back with nothing. My goodness. Anyway, he was employed. Man, I could preach on that a while. Hallelujah. What am I getting out of this? What am I getting for serving God? What am I getting? Hey, man. All you have to do is dismiss your emotions and start taking an accurate roll call, and you'll find out that God has been mightily good to us and that we did not get what we deserve. Amen. Oh, that's right. Thank God they were employed. Number six or five, whatever it is. Five, I believe it is. They were enjoying. They were servants. Do you think they were serving miserably? And the indication was they'd been there a long time. They'd been there for years. Do you think there was misery involved in ministry? Wait a minute. Who got to participate with the fatted calf killing? Who had both jaws packed full of a fatted calf? Amen. Who was it that got to sit around the table? You think you're going to be serving and have to live off of scraps and leftovers? No, friend. There was room around the table for the servants. Oh my, y'all don't care if I have a good time tonight? Amen. Those that don't deserve to be around the table. Oh, Mephibosheth got to sit around the table. And he was a part of the enemy's crowd. Thank God. Hey, can you imagine as those servants sat around the table probably three times a day at least, maybe. Who knows? And I mean, buddy, they're going across them chicken legs like a harmonica, Brother Samuel. And they wasn't nothing left but a little sin on a bone. And I could see one of them look over to another servant beside him, Miss Cannon, and say, you know what? I'm glad I didn't go to the far country. I'm glad I'm not desiring the husk that the swine did eat. Man, I'm glad to be gnawing on this chicken leg, amen. Or this ribeye. Or this prime rib. Amen. And boy, they said, you know what? It does pay to serve, don't it? Amen. They enjoyed it. Listen, there's enjoyment in serving the Lord. They enjoyed the benefits. And they weren't just eating, cow and chicken and whatever else. You know, they probably had some corn and they probably had some green beans and probably had some baked potato or mashed potatoes and gravy. And one of them may have looked over at one of the other servants and said, you know what? I'm glad we picked these beans. I'm glad we dug out these potatoes. I'm glad we planted this corn. And we was out there in the sweat and it was hot. And we got to wondering, does the Father even notice? But oh, thank God, there's enjoyment getting to sit around the table and get to eat the fruit of your labor. Let me deal with this and last. And that is, these servants were envied. The prodigal said in verse number 17, when he was in the hog pen, starving to death with nothing but a hunger even for the husk that the swine did eat. You say, I'd never get that low, preacher. No, I'll never get that low. I'm in control. I'll not ever stoop that low to where I'm so hungry and I'm so miserable and I'm so miserable and lack of peace in my heart that I would want even what the swine did eat. Help me right here. Some of you that's raised hogs, help me right here. I think I'm seeing something right here. If I'm not mistaken now, y'all help me. The Spirit of God's helping me right here. That husk was the leftovers of even what the swine had ate. Oh. For some reason, I'd always thought, Brother Ben, that husk was the swine food. But that was probably what was left after the swine had already, I don't know, what is that husk? What is that, brother? Anybody know? I'm thinking like a corn cob. Okay, it's like the shuck. What about that? I mean, we're talking about eating what even the hogs won't even eat. I guess they won't eat it. I don't know. They'll eat anything. Goats will. But the point is that when the prodigal had got in such a shape, listen, can I say something? Sin will introduce you to the bottom. Sin will introduce you to the bottom. You say, not me, preacher. You'll be the first one. You can't handle it. It'll handle you. In fact, John, let me read this verse right here. Don't turn there. See if I can find it right quick. Let me think what verse it is here. John 8. I looked at it there a while ago, I thought. About if you're, let's see, you're a servant of sin if you obey. Where's that at? I looked at it sitting over there a while ago. Amen. That's got my on my last nerve. Listen, I'll find it. John 8, 34. That's what I was looking at, I thought. And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. You're not in control. You're a bond slave. You're a slave to sin. You do what sin says and what the master of sin says. But anyway, when the prodigal was there and he had nothing and sin had introduced him to the bottom, guess where his mind went? Oh, them servants. They've got it better than me. Envy. You're to live a life to where people, when they get in a mess and they hit the bottom, they'll think, you know what? That brother so-and-so, they're still in church and they're still in the field and they're still faithful and they're still serving. And that sister so-and-so, they're, you know what? They're still singing in the choir and still faithful. Amen. And be an envy. Be a person where those that are out in sin would think of you and look at you and envy you. Oh, I wished I was back there. And we know the prodigal ended up coming home. But did he come home without first thinking about those servants, how good they had it? Envy. Envy. Everybody in hell's envious of us tonight. Everyone. Everybody in hell's wanting out. Nobody in heaven's wanting out. Are y'all listening? These servants were ones of envy. You know what? Oh, yes, thank you, Lord. Not one time did those servants say, you know what? Man, I wished I was in that far country. They never was envious of the prodigal. And then when they saw the Pharisee that stayed at home, the elder brother, he had such a nasty attitude, nobody wanted to be like him either. But those servants said, you know what, I don't want to be the Pharisee. And I don't want to be the prodigal. But I want to be a person that those that are out in sin will envy. Be envious. Are y'all listening? I don't want to, and I haven't, honest. I've never looked at anybody, Brother Ron, that's left, that's out in sin. And we all know some that have. I've never looked at one of those ever, ever in my soon to be 37 years of being saved to where I was envious of them. Brother Matt, I've never looked at anybody that's out of church and their life is full of wreck and ruin and misery and scars and they're on the bottom and the hogs have got it better than they've got it. And I've never looked at them with envy, but I want them to look at me staying with God, staying in church, keep serving, being faithful on the farm, and them look at me with envy. You know why? I want them to say, you know what? I want to go back there. I want to go back there. Isn't that what verse 17? Isn't that what verse 17 is saying? That the prodigal made his decision to go back home because he was thinking about the hired servants that had come on. Why didn't I think of that a while ago when I was talking about the enjoyment or the employment? They had bread to spare. I mean, this was a common report around the table of the servants. Whew, man, I can't eat all this. Bread enough to spare means we've eaten and we can't eat no more and there's leftovers. Amen. Oh, mercy, can I say to you tonight, listen, there'll never be leftovers in the far country. Never. There'll never be leftovers in the far country. So they're called hired servants, verse 17, verse 19. In fact, I'll tell you how good they had it. The servants, Miss Candy, that when the prodigal did come home, you know what he was willing? Just make me one of your hired servants. I'll have plenty to eat. It'll be good for me. I'll be on the farm. Amen. I'll have it good just being a servant. But see, in our text, it's either or. But with you and me, we can be both the son and the servant. We can be the child and the servant. We get both benefits. Amen. Hey, I don't know. Oh, help us, Lord. Hey, I don't. Listen, if it's just being a servant, if that's all, oh, it's good. It's good. Amen. But we're a son and a servant. We're children and servants. We get both. We get all of it. We get the robe. Hallelujah. Hey, we get the robe and the ring and the shoes. Amen. We get the blessings. I want to be a servant, don't you? I don't want to quit serving. I don't want to quit serving. I don't want to get out of the field. I don't want to quit plowing. I don't want to quit, listen, amen. I don't want to quit planting. I don't want to quit, Brother Jeter. I don't. Because if I were to quit, then those prodigals will never envy me and say, boy, I wished I was where he's at. But if you envy the prodigal, and God help you if you do, you will be where they're at. Amen. You will be where they're at. I don't want to quit serving. I don't want to get my eyes on the toil. I don't want to get my eyes on the aggravations and the all that. I don't want to get my eyes on that. I don't want to get my focus on the hard times. Everything in the field is not easy. If you've ever worked in a garden and plowed and planted and weeded, and I mean, you think of that, how easy it is for them to be out there in the field. And that was back before they had a lot of the machinery and tractors. And I mean, they had to go through those gigantic fields probably with some kind of an instrument, sort of like a hoe. And not just plowing and planting, but weeding. Could you hear some of the disgruntled servants saying, you know what, I'm so sick of these weeds. I'm so sick of it. And it'd be easy, come on now, it'd be easy. When all that stuff gets pretty high and the weeds are down low and you get to thinking, you know what? Father won't never notice if I leave some of these weeds. The one that owns the farm, if I leave a few weeds in my rows, the Father may not notice, but you will know. But what if the Father just out there one day, you think he ever went to the field? It's probably more like this. Hey, fellas, you missed one back there. You better pull them all. The Father may come down your row and inspect. And you'll be most embarrassed when the Father says, you mean I've been good to you? I've been so good to you and you're so lenient with leaving weeds. How could you do me that way? Man, it's getting bigger, isn't it? Best thing to do is be faithful. That way when you see the Father, you can look at him in the eyes and you won't be ashamed before him. How many of us remember this? I'm about done. I remember Daddy goes to work every day. And of course, always, I had to carry the blunt of the load around the house. Say amen right there. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. Amen. I'm still traumatized from washing dishes and standing in a... But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I've got over that. I'm trying to go forward. Lord, give me a good saying today. Forward is not backwards, and backwards is never forward. I don't know why it come out on that, but I was counseling with somebody today when that come out, and I said, oh my goodness. Backwards is never forward, and forward is never backwards. And I lost my train of thought. Where was I at, Brother Robert? No. Oh yeah, I do remember. Thank you, brother. I had a nightmare thought there a second, but I do remember now. Mom would say, here's, you know, I'm talking about we had to mop the basement floor, sweep it and mop it. We had to, all around our house, we had to make sure none of the underbrush was growing. Big trees, but no underbrush. I mean, we had to make sure that the ditch was cleaned out all the way across the top end of the garden and all those kinds of things. And so Mama would tell me, you got to do this and you got to get this done today and all this and all this. And sometimes I'd drag around until I'd hear that Chevrolet truck or the Bronco, every which one it was, that Daddy drove to work coming up the hill. Blah, blah, blah. Chevrolet, no, I'm just kidding. And I thought, oh, no. So when Daddy started up the driveway, I wasn't running out to meet him because I hadn't been a servant. I hadn't been doing my responsibility. I didn't want to see him. But those times I've been faithful, Daddy's home. Daddy's home. Amen. God's left us with responsibilities. A lot of them. And Jesus is coming. We talked about it, Brother Jeff, in the prayer room. Jesus is coming. Everybody thought he was coming, or not everybody, but some of thought he was coming yesterday. Thought the end of the world was yesterday. Well, I'm still here. I know he didn't come. What had he come yesterday? Had the end of the world been yesterday? Where would you be today? I would not be here. I know that. Amen. Be a servant. Don't be a prodigal. You can if you want to. You can. But I'm telling you, I pray for you, love you, but I'm not going with you. Because you're getting a hog. Listen, how many's ever had hogs growing up? We had them when we was growing up. And it was always my business, mine and my brother's. I'll bring him in. My sister never slopped the hogs, never. I'm still bitter over that. That bit me and my brother, we had to take times to go feed the hogs. Hogs, however, which side of the track you was on. And we'd go feed the hogs. I'm telling you what's the truth. I'd dump that stuff down the trough, the chute, the end of the trough, and A.B. and I, you know, slopping it around. And I'd go back off the hill with an empty bucket. And I'm telling you, it smelled like I had that mess all over me. You can't get around a hog pen without it getting all over you. I'm talking about the smell of it. It'll get in your clothes. It'll get that deep in your skin. Five baths won't get it off of you. I'm not going with you. I don't want no hog pen smell on me. I don't want nobody to get around me and say, far country. Have you been in the far country? You been around the hog pen? You get around the hog pen, somebody's going to smell it on you. Your family's going to smell it on you. Your friends are going to smell it on you. And you, no matter what you do, you can't cover it up. It's always going to go with you. Oh yeah, they've been to the hog pen. It'll probably go with you for most of your life. Yep. I smell their testimony. Got hog pen all over it. Man, I don't want that. I want to stay in the field, Sister Candy. I want to stay in the field and serve. And they smell Brother Ben and say, man, smell around Brother Ben. Smell around old Brother Samuel over here. And Brother Sam, Bob, and Samuel. I called him Sam Bob. Oh, my goodness, that smells like, that smells like steaks. Ah, Which do they think they would want to be? They want to be around you with the smell of the Father's table on you? Or would they want to get around somebody that's got the hog pen smell on them? My goodness. I don't want to be a prodigal. I'm done right here. I don't want to be a prodigal, and I don't want to be the Pharisee. Both of them are wrong. Both of them are condemned in that scripture. I want to be a servant. Stay put, stay faithful. Amen.